Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Senators 7, Sabres 4. That is your final in Ottawa tonight. Joe DiBiase filling in for Brian Koziol. This is the Paul William Belts postgame show brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. Looking for your calls tonight at 716-803-0550. 1-888-550-2550 is the toll-free number. You can also hit me up on Twitter at SneakyJoeWGR or on the text line 550-550. We will bring you the blue and gold locker room reports once we have them from our man Pat Mellicaro, who is in Canadian Tire Center. We'll have our moments of the game, highlights of the game for you, brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. And three stars of the game. We'll bring it all to you over the course here. Ralph Kruger's press conference as well. But it feels like a blown opportunity, to say the least. You had a team above you in the standings in the Maple Leafs that are imploding a little bit. You've got their coach calling them embarrassing to the media after they lose to the Pittsburgh Penguins. And the Sabres kind of laid an egg in Ottawa tonight. You let seven in, really you let six in, and then the one empty netter, but you let seven in to one of the worst teams in hockey. That's a tough pill to swallow on a night where you could have pulled within 6 points of a playoff spot with a game in hand on a team, like I said, the Leafs, who are struggling a lot as of late. But we have to continue, and if you look around at a lot of the players in this game and you look at some of the stuff that happened, I think that Jeff Skinner's usage has been very interesting to look at over the past couple of weeks. And tonight, I thought he was floating in and around the puck, and he was having a nice game. He created the first goal by Brandon Montour, and you just look at the stat sheet at the end of the night, and he only plays 14 minutes and 32 seconds, and I just don't know what this guy's got to do. I even put the puck in the back of the net. He is snake bitten right now, and he is playing to me not that bad, but he's not getting the results, and he's also not getting the ice time with those results either. So an interesting storyline going on with Jeff Skinner right now, 22 games in a row now that he has not scored a goal. So yeah, as I mentioned, we'll go moments of the game, goal of the game, blue and gold locker room reports, Ralph Kruger, final stats of the game. Presented by Strategic Financial Solutions. Love where you work. Strategic Financial Solutions. Brandon Montour, a great night. 2 goals and 1 assist. A lot of points from the Sabres blue line. Dahlin with an assist that passes Ray Bourque for second in NHL history among teenage defensemen. Rasmus Ristolainen adds another assist as well. Shots on goal. Brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey to the Misfits, Black Sheep, and Screwballs. 39 shots against. You let up 39 shots to the Ottawa Senators. That's a big number. The Sabres had 27 of their own. So they're outshot 39-27. Second game in a row against the Senators. 2 losses in 3 weeks. You lose the season series to them 3-1. And really, you get outshot like that. And I know you're on the road, and I know you haven't played all that well on the road this season, but That's a tough pill to swallow. It feels like a big missed opportunity to me into this game. I thought the Sabres pressed really well in the third period. Really, for the first 12, 13 minutes, they controlled that game. They were on the hunt. They were going to tie that hockey game. And maybe the most frustrating part of it is it felt like they were going to do it. And then you get the phantom hooking call against Jake McCabe. It just so clearly was not a penalty. There's no argument for it to be a penalty. I guess if you want to say cross-checking, but he hardly touches the guy. And yes, he goes crashing into the net because the guy is out of control heading towards the Sabres end. And any contact Jake McCabe makes, I guess, is going to be called a lot of times in that situation. But hooking? Hooking, to me, is the evidence that the referee was not seeing what was going on there. So a bitter pill there that's how the game essentially ends. The two-goal lead on the power play happens on a phantom call. I mean, it just so clearly was not a penalty. But, you know, you do have to go out and kill the penalty. And Ottawa is not a very good team. 28th in the league in power play percentage on the season. Not one of the better offensive teams in the league in general. The season series is over. So they scored 5 of their last 6 power plays against the Sabres. 5 out of 6. You got to have better results than that. You just have to. And the penalty was stunk, but you got to go out and kill it to maintain that game because your season's on the line in some ways in this game. If you're not going to beat teams like the Senators, how can anybody take you seriously towards making a playoff run? So, frustrating night, to say the least, for the Sabres. We will get you to the locker room once we have it. We'll take a couple of calls, though, while we're waiting. 716-803-0550. Joe DiBiase filling in for Brian Koziel tonight on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Let's kick things off with Alex. Alex, you're on the postgame show. What's up, man?
How's it going?
Good. How about yourself?
Good, good. You know, it's tough tonight. Build up a lot of hope. Little win streak there. We play a very beatable Senators team, and they beat us on what I felt was some gimmicky hockey tonight with those high flips, looking for bounces. It didn't go our way. You know, we're sniffing at the playoff race. It would be great to make a push, but in my opinion, right now, just got to keep our heads high. We got a young Darlene. He's 19 years old, not even close to his peak. Michael's still not in his prime years. He's getting there. He's almost fully there. So overall, let's just keep going as a fan base. Keep rooting them on. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Alex. I do kind of agree with the mindset that Ottawa was a little gimmicky tonight. They did have 39 shots, and I don't think that they actually ended up with 40 shots. That was updated just a second ago. So 40 shots on the night for Ottawa. A lot of them were from the wall. A lot of them were low-quality chances. But they did have some good chances on the night, too. So while maybe their plan coming in was what you talked about there, like a little bit of gimmicky hockey, the Sabres let them have chances. They did. And they currently have a team without Linus Ullmark that does not really have a goaltender that can bail them out consistently. There are nights where Carter Hutton can show up and he can win a game for you. The game against Toronto a couple nights ago, he made 2 incredible saves to keep that a tie hockey game in the third period. And then the Sabres rattled off 3 goals in a row after that. He can have moments. But consistently throughout the season, you have not been able to trust him in between the pipes. And it's a big reason why you're as far out of the playoff race as you are. You just haven't been able to trust your goaltending. And a night like tonight, 6 goals against Ottawa. And I think you want the first one back. I think you want the Pageau goal back. The rebound control puts it right on Pageau, and that wasn't good. Bathurst, the Anisimov shot on the power play. Like, there were 3-4 goals I think I want my goalie to bail me out in. And Hutton did not do that on the night. I was a little surprised Jonas Johansson never ended up in the net. So, yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. Rich in Buffalo. You're on the Paul William Belts postgame show. What's up, Rich?
Yeah, Joe D, good evening. First things first, let's ban in-home beer sales while the games are going on for callers like Alex. It's not Little League hockey, dude. I watched the first game in 1970 against Pittsburgh, 2-1 on Channel 7. All right, just wait till these guys develop and do whatever. Come on. Are you kidding me? Let's keep rooting these guys on. What are they afraid? They might not have to go to the counselor and talk about anxiety tomorrow. No way. First of all, we need an NHL-caliber goaltender. Hutton, if he doesn't instill any confidence in people who haven't watched the film like us, what can it be playing in front of this guy? Right? You're going for the playoffs, and can you see the eye rolls in their heads? It's one of these nights. 2 or 3 of these goals, yeah, you like to have them back. They don't have any more chances to get it back. This would have been a huge win. Are they going to win all 20, whatever, for the rest of the season? No. But, you know, and who do they have? We have a terrible organization. The place is toxic. It's voted every year that players don't want to play here. All right? And then we have no salary cap room. You know, they have to get rid of I mean, what are we waiting for? What's the bright side? What's the up? You have 3 in there. You have 3 games in a row, brings you back. It's just like an abusive relationship. They promise you won't do it again, and And in a minute and 14, they did it again. It's just one frustration after another.
Hey, Rich, thanks for the call, man. I got to hit some other calls here. But if I had to try to find a bright side, and I hear your frustration. Like, I hear it. I feel it. They do have a lot of cap space coming up. That's the only thing I could point to. Like, that they have a lot of cap space that is going to become available this upcoming offseason. I'm still holding out hope that they're going to pull off a major trade at the trade deadline. Not just, like, you know, selling off your UFAs, your rentals to other teams for mid-round picks. I do think they should do that. I don't think that they should think that they can make the playoffs and hang on to guys like Sherry and VC and Larson if they think they can get good draft capital back for them. But they're going to have space coming up. They're going to have space coming up, and if there is some movement at the deadline, hopefully that they're a part of it. It's hard to maybe have confidence that that's going to happen, but I have to keep believing that eventually the dam's going to burst and this team's going to make some moves. Because there's no way you can watch this. There's no way that you can continue to watch the same roster not even get themselves to a playoff race and have games like tonight where you have an opportunity to get into one and they fall short against an inferior opponent. So I understand the frustration, but it's not all the salary cap part of it to me shouldn't be lumped into what's all bad right now. They're going to have some flexibility. Whether they use it or not, we'll see. But they will have flexibility. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Brian in Williamsville. Brian, you're on the postgame show. What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to agree with you. I mean, Hutton, I think, needs to be – I know, what, is his contract's up next year, I think? So you go ahead and probably try to deal him this year if you can. I'm not sure what you can get for him in return. But that's the only person I would want to re-sign, if possible, is Jimmy Vesey, who's I think could come back. The others that are unrestricted, I try to get what I can for them in return for face mm-hmm. value. I want to try to rebuild. I'm sick of it right now. As a fan and as a person who's a season ticket holder for the last 20 years, I'm sick and tired of this crap. We need to rebuild a little bit, but we need to be smart about it.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for the call, man. I don't know that they can trade Hutton. I don't think you can do it. He's under contract for one more year. I am interested to see if they bring him back as the backup netminder next season. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, probably not going, almost for sure, I would think, not going to be ready for a jump to at the NHL at the start of next season. Jonas Johansson had a nice year in the AHL, but he has not done anything yet up here in limited action to make you think that he's going to be an NHL goaltender at the start of next season. And you could move him, put Hutton to the minors. You could waive him, and you could basically carve off half of that salary and get it off of your salary cap figure. Or they might bring him back. He'll be interesting. He'll be an interesting figure in what they want to do in net going forward. All marks of RFA at the end of the year. I would think with the season he's had, they want to bring him back on some type of deal. But we'll see. We're waiting on our blue and gold locker room reports. We'll have those to you shortly, so we'll let you know when we get to them. We'll keep taking calls, though. 803-0550 is the number. Let's go to Frank in Pittsburgh. Frank, you're on the Paul William Belcher postgame show. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Good. You know, just watching this game, it just seems like there's just never a sense of urgency with this team. I mean, a problem that they always have throughout the year is closing games, and I know you're not going to close a game in the first period, but after they score those two goals, it just seems like they sat back and they just let Ottawa, a very bad Ottawa Senators team, just come right at them, and then you can only take so much before they finally get one. Plus, with the home ice, just kept coming after them, and just no sense of urgency on the team. Half the team, it looks like, just doesn't even want to be there. And then also, like, I'd like to see a couple moves at the deadline. I want to see the roster improve a little bit. If people are going to try to buy into this playoff push, I think that we're going to have to do something. So, you know, I'll hang up and listen and see what you guys think.
Yeah, thanks, Frank. Yeah, I agree. I guess I agree if they think they can make a playoff push. They've got to add. That's the only way it could maybe happen. But I just don't think it could happen. I think that would be dumb, to be honest. So, yes, I agree. If they think they can make the playoffs, then the best course would be, like, the only way you think you can improve from here would be to add, but I just don't think that that's realistic. I don't think it's realistic to think they can make up 8 points in the remainder of the season. I didn't really think they could have done it even if they were at six. I thought maybe we could add a race, but I didn't think they were going to make it, and you couldn't beat Ottawa. So that's a tough. That's tough. Montreal, like, everyone's making fun of them on social media today. Montreal got swept by the Detroit Red Wings this season. Swept. Detroit went 4-0 against the Canadiens and went 11-43-4 against the rest of the league. And I feel like I can't even make fun of Montreal for doing that because the Sabres lost 3 out of 4 to Ottawa. It's a missed opportunity. It was a missed opportunity, and tonight was one of those nights. Ralph Krueger on the way. Blue and Gold Locker Room Report's on the way as well. And actually, let's go to the locker room now. Our Blue and Gold Locker Room Report's delivered by Speed Global Services around the corner or around the world. Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. Back to your calls in a second. First, Kyle Oposo standing by with Pat Melicaro.
Yeah, the quick start there, Kyle. What kind of change for them in their favor?
They fell asleep for 7 minutes and they scored 4 goals. I mean, that's... We knew that they have shorthanded prowess and gave up a shorty, and that's just unacceptable. So, yeah, can't give up 4 quick ones and try and dig yourself out.
How's it happen, though, that you can give up 4 quick ones like that? It's just especially the timing of that first one, really, you think, catch you guys off guard a little bit? Or?
Yeah, I mean, 3-0 can really take a stranglehold in the game, and then we give up 1-2-1, and then swings in their favor. I mean, it's a game of momentum. We had it all the first 10 minutes or whatever it was in the game and let it go. So, disappointing.
Did you feel like you had chances to tie it up and
twice? Yeah, I mean, we threw the kitchen sink at him in the third to start the game. We just weren't able to get one. Got to find a way. Got to find a way in a game like that. We have to win that game.
What's the message in the room afterward? It's over with now. How do you guys move forward? Because I know it's a missed opportunity, but you got 2 more games this weekend. There's a lot of season left to go.
Yeah, I mean, we got to win games. That's it. That's the bottom line. I mean, we have to trust the way that we play is going to produce the results, and we just fell asleep for a little bit, and it cost us. And we can't have that. We can't have those mental errors right now. And yeah, I mean, we gotta go on the road and win a big game in Pittsburgh, and then we gotta come home and win a big game against Winnipeg. So that's it.
Thanks, guys. That's Kyle Oposo on the post game. Joe, back to you.
Pat, thank you very much. We'll also hear from Brandon Montour in just 1 second, and we're actually going to make Brandon Montour our high-impact player of the game. High-impact player of the game brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. Let's hear from Montour, who I thought was the best player of the night. 2 goals, an assist, played very well in the back end, maybe had the save of the night too. So here's Montour standing by in the locker room with Pat.
That's just, I mean, I think that's unacceptable, especially where position we're at, you know. I think when we go up 2-0 there, we got a lot of energy to start the game. Like I said, the position we're at, I don't think we, you know, have an excuse to let a shift off or let it, even after a goal, you know, it's hit 4 there. So, obviously, you know, they get a couple there at the end, but, you know, we're never going to win games that, you know, with those goals against like that.
Was it letting a shift off? I mean, just the lack of attention to detail. What happened?
What was that first goal? I don't even remember what that first goal was, but I think it's just, I mean, you let off maybe a bit, they score a goal, but, you know, I think we got to wash that and take the next shift hard. And, you know, they obviously kept coming, and then they got a power play goal, I think, at the or a penalty kill goal, and then they just kept coming. I think we needed to find a way to, you know, get through that period, I guess, in a sense, and obviously we didn't do that, so.
I know you're only down 2 goals at that point, but how hard is it to recover from just a sequence like that? I mean, it's 4 goals against in less than 4 minutes.
Yeah, I think you got to wipe that as best as you can. Obviously, you know, it's tough having that, but I mean, there are still 2 periods to go. There's still 2 periods to, you know, fight back. And, you know, I felt like a couple shifts there we did that, but, you know, in the end, it doesn't really matter. Like I said, you can't take shifts off. You can't take periods off, and especially with the position we're at.
What makes them difficult to play against? They have to get to some tough games.
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, they have our number, and I mean, they just come with pace. They got a lot of speed up front. Their D like to move the puck quick, and you know, I think it's one thing where we make mistakes on our own. I think we caused that, and you know, like I said, I think it's unacceptable.
Just what's the message in the room after a game like that? As you said, it's a missed opportunity for you guys.
Yeah, I think everybody's got to, you know, realize where we're at. We let another one slip away. I think after, you know, bye week there, we've let a number of games slip away, and those are big points. And hopefully everybody in this room realizes we let another one go there, and we got to get back to work tomorrow.
It's Brandon Montour in the post game. Brian, back to you.
Oh, Pat. Pat, no. That's all right. Joe DiBiase here on the Paul William Belts postgame show, filling in for Brian today. Honest mistake there by Pat. You know, instinctually, you're normally going to say that. I thought Montour should have been one of the three stars of the game, but you understand, home crowd, or home media, their home team wins. Three Senators on the night were the three stars. Jean-Gabriel Pageau, the number one star with 2 goals and 2 assists. Artem Anisimov, 2 goals and 0 assists as the second star. Craig Anderson, 23 saves on the night, the third star. That's the questionable one to me. I don't think Craig Anderson played all that well at all, but he got the third star. All right, whatever. You got the win. Three stars of the game brought to you by Goya. If it's Goya, it has to be good. Back to the locker room. Pat Melicaro, not Paul Hamilton. See, I didn't mess it up. He's standing by now with Victor Olofsson.
What kind of effect did that shorthanded goal have in the first period?
Obviously, it was a big one. Felt like we started the first 12, 13 minutes really good, and then we didn't play smart enough. So, obviously, it's tough being behind 2 goals after the first period, especially when we're up by 2 there. So, we try to fight our way back. Did an okay effort. I think we didn't really come up in our level tonight.
How's it changed just the when you're chasing the game the way you guys did? I mean, you get the good start you want. What's it like at that point? You're down 2 goals.
It's a little bit frustrating, of course. We didn't really get the offensive pressure we wanted to either. So it's I think it just it's hard to stay patient, but that's what you got to do, and just play the game the right way. And at the same time, it's only 2 goals. I mean, it's only 2 shots. So like I said, I think we did an okay effort. It just wasn't good enough.
Anything Ottawa did in the penalty kill, it seemed like they were keeping the offense, your offense, to the outside.
Yeah, I mean, they were putting a lot of pressure on us. I think they did a pretty good job, even though we scored one. And I think we could have probably scored another one on that PP after the goal. So we got to look at it and be better at that too.
Kyle said he felt like you threw the kitchen sink at him in the third. I mean, do you feel like you put yourself in position to try to tie it up?
Yeah, I mean, we had some scoring chances too. Like I said before, we just didn't really get enough offensive pressure on them. We didn't really keep them long enough in their own end. Yeah, I don't know.
That's Victor Olofsson on the post game. Joe, back to you.
Thank you, Pat. Victor Olofsson, 19th goal of the season, 11th power play goal of the season. He's on pace to have the best season for a Sabre scoring power play goals. He's on pace to have the best one since Thomas Vanek had 20 power play goals in 2009. That shot on the right flank, they sorely missed it, I thought, all season. They missed it when he got hurt this past season. He gets it on his stick. It is off in an instant. It is accurate, and it is hard, and it is why he, to me, is on track to be a consistent 30-goal scorer for this team for the foreseeable future. So one positive out of this season, if you're looking for positives, we had a call earlier. It's like, I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe one of them is you found a 30-goal scorer this season. Victor Olofsson is a 30-goal scorer, at least. And maybe there's more upside even then playing alongside Jack Eichel. So feeling pretty good at least about him, even on a frustrating night like tonight. That's going to do it for the network portion of our Paul William Belts post-game show, brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. But stick around either on the radio.com app or tune in on WGR 550 in Buffalo at WGR550.com. We've got Ralph Krueger on the way. We've got your highlights as well. Continue to take your calls at 803-0550. Final in Ottawa, Senators 5. Sabres 2. More of the Paul William Belts post-game show after this. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Welcome back to the Paul William Belts postgame show, brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. Joe DiBiase sitting in for Brian Koziol tonight. Let's go back to Canadian Tire Center in Ottawa. Ralph Kruger standing by with the media, brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney.
How did the first period unfold after the shorthanded goal?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that we really got a good start here. We were, we were doing the things we thought we needed to do to play well against Ottawa. And, that power play from the get-go just, didn't have the work ethic that we need. And we know that Ottawa is the best shorthanded scoring team in the league. That's we had awareness of that. They had two scoring chances on that power play, and very disappointing. I thought, we really, really slipped off the mark, and we did recover. We had chances to tie the game early in the third. Compliment to Ottawa, they never gave up. They worked hard. I thought in the third period, once we had those chances, it was hard to get through them. But overall, very, very disappointing when you look at the start and the table that we had set and how we let that go on our own. And we're very disappointed right now with the result.
One goal against, they end up scoring four in less than 4 minutes.
Yeah.
How does that happen? It seemed like after the first one, your guys really just couldn't recover until it was too late.
No, I thought we, as a coach, you always second guess, should you have done something? There was a TV timeout coming on the way, but it was just too fast, too quick, and very, very disappointing. We just lost everything that we had built over the first 15 minutes. We broke down in the D zone like we haven't been lately. We stood and watched a team that went hungry on their toes and felt the opportunity, and they used it. So good for them, bad for us. But again, I thought we fought our way back into the game. We gave ourselves a chance to turn the score. And like we do, we don't give up. We fight our way back in too, but too little, too late.
Brendan Montour's performance, one of the positives you can take away. Not only he had the points, but he also ended up saving a goal.
Yeah, I know Brandon had a good game today. I mean, those two goals were outstanding. And, he's just been a really good D-man for us. He feels so comfortable right now defensively. The pressure he's putting on the puck, and he uses his amazing skating skills. And, to see him add some offense tonight, we're happy. That is one positive we'll take out of this game.
Sabres head coach Ralph Kruger. I mean, that's about as close as I think he's going to come to ripping a team. Really criticized the team for their work ethic on the power play. I think that's about as candid as you're going to get from the Sabres head coach. Speaking of the core group, which he just kind of talked about, a look at the core group presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Western New York, proud partner of the Buffalo Sabres. Highlight your home with a new window or door from Pella. Pella Windows and Doors of Western New York, proud partner of the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres were really closer than you think to tying this hockey game, and it was by a couple of their core pieces. 10:40 into the third period, Sam Reinhart goes 1-on-4. 1-on-4, gets it into the zone with speed, and it was an example to me of Reinhart coming along as a player in the last 2 years, a guy that can drive his own play. He creates the entire play. He enters the zone. He beats a defenseman to the wall, chips it by another one, gets it behind the net, and the puck ends up coming out to Ristolainen in the slot for a one-timer. And Ristolainen, wires it. It's going top corner, and it hits the top of Craig Anderson's stick. So that's another, this game was there for the Sabres. It was that close. Craig Anderson getting lucky, making a save with the top butt end of his stick. Stopped the Sabres from tying the game halfway through the third period. So they had it there, but I think the overall point, you could blame, being unlucky on that save there, like I just kind of did. You could blame the referees for an awful call on Jake McCabe late in the game, but you should not have the margin be that thin against the Ottawa Senators. They're not a good enough opponent. The margin should not be that then. So that makes it all the more frustrating, of course, that the game ended that way. Let's now go through our moments of the game, brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. We'll pick it up in the third period. So the Sabres enter the third period down by 5-4. They came close, as I mentioned, a couple of times from tying the game, but they did not. Then the penalty. And didn't take too long for Jean-Gabriel Pageot, his second of the night, 24th of the season, to extend the lead to 2.
Batherson down the right side. Right in front scores Pageot. 6-4, Ottawa.
Going to make that the goal of the game. Brought to you by Revive Spine Center. Our only goal is getting back to you. That was the dagger. It was all the air let out of the balloon after that one. The Sabres have been pressing and pressing and pressing, and they came close, and they just didn't get there. And Pageot kind of buried it there. 19-14 into the third period. Anthony Duclair, who, by the way, has been very snake-bitten as of late. I think I got to look, get the right number, but it was like a dozen games or more maybe he had gone without a goal. He roars down the wing with the empty net, beats Rasmus Dahlin to the puck, and he makes it 7-4.
Cross ice pass, Pageot with the pickoff. Now Duclair down the ice. He's got an empty net. Senators are shorthanded, and they get another one. Two shorthanded goals on the night. And that one will seal the deal.
Duclair's 22nd of the season. He's having a good year overall for Ottawa, assisted by Jean-Gabriel Pageot, who ended the night with 4 points. That was Duclair's first goal in 19 games, his first goal since December 21st. So we've been talking about Jeff Skinner being snake-bitten. Maybe Ottawa's been doing the same thing with Anthony Duclair, and he gets the empty netter to top it all off in Ottawa tonight. Back to your calls. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Mark in Kenmore. Mark, you're on the Paul Wingbelts postgame show. What's up, man?
Yeah, hello. Another blown opportunity. I mean, Toronto loses. Montreal puts the bet and loses to the Red Wings, blowing a 2-goal lead in the third period, no less. It looks like Buffalo and Montreal particularly are going to be playing golf together in April. But as far as Bovril goes, you know, the Sabres are going to have a lot of money open after the season, you know, as far as cap space. And I'm a season ticket holder, and I got to tell you, I don't have any faith in Bottero at all. I am terrified about what he'll do, assuming he stays on. I just don't trust him to make this team better. I think he's had 3 years, and I just don't see enough where this team should be right in the thick of the playoff race, if not holding one. Third year into their tenure, this team should be much better than it is. It has a good nucleus, but the supporting cast just doesn't cut it in the end.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for the call. I've been touting their nucleus a lot lately, the core of their team. I think if you're going over the next 5 years and your core group is Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, Victor Olofsson, Jeff Skinner, Rasmus Dahlin, and Henry Jokiharju, I like your chances for being able to figure out the rest of it at some point. But you're not going to fire Botcher before deadline day. So you might as well wait it out, see what he's got up his sleeves for Monday. And if nothing happens on Monday, then I'll say you were right. But I want to see what he's got up his sleeves. It almost blows my mind. There's almost no way he couldn't get something done. But I guess we'll see. One more call before we wrap things up tonight. Jim in Niagara Falls. Jim, you are on the postgame show. What's up, man?
Hey, Joe. I want to say first, I really enjoy your Locked On Sabres and NHL podcast.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for that.
Good work. They really needed a better game from Hunt tonight. I thought he was the opposite of what you'd like to see when you hear goalie is quiet and controlled and pucks stick to him. He was the opposite of that. He was all over the place. Rebounds were bouncing everywhere. That sweep check he tried to do on the guy coming around the net put him completely out of position, cost them the goal there. 4 of those goals are on him, and there would have been a 5th if it wasn't for Montour making a save. So he really didn't help the team tonight whatsoever. I'd also like to see them move Johansson, Marcus, because he's a liability half of the time. How many times is he going to flub a pass on the power play and cost us going the other way? He's got to be in on half of their shorthanded goals at least. And please grant Rodriguez his wish and trade him Jason Botterill. Thanks again for your good work, man.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for the call. I don't need them to move Marcus Johansson. I mean, he has not been exactly what I think fans would want out of him. But I would tell you, you're expecting too much. He's a good player. He's an all right player. On a good team, he's on your third line. In fact, that happened last season. Boston went to the Stanley Cup final with Marcus Johansson on their third line, chipping in once in a while, important goals, big offensive plays, but also not being counted on to be a team's second line center. It's unfair to expect that Marcus Johansson on your second line, especially at center, was going to live up to that. He's okay. He's better than what the alternative would have been. I'll say that. But I don't need him traded. I think if you add to your top six, and next season he's on my second line right wing, or he's on my third line right wing or left wing, whatever, I think that that's a better situation for him. He shouldn't have to be relied on to be the main playmaker for Jeff Skinner, your 40-goal scorer. That should not be a responsibility on a player of that caliber shoulders. He's okay. He's a 40-point player. He's a 40 to 50-point player. He has 358 points in 638 games. He's a little bit over a point every other game. And this year, he's 24 points in 50 games, about a point every other game. So yeah, he's a little bit down, but it's not like he's having a terrible season for what he is. So he's got another year left in his contract. If they trade him on Monday, I'm not going to be, you know, flying off the walls. Like, how could you possibly do that? There are, of course, deals where he could be moved, and I think that could be smart. But I don't need them to rush him off this team at all. I don't at all. All right. That's going to wrap things up for us tonight. Next up on the schedule, the Sabres are at the Pittsburgh Penguins for a Saturday matinee, 1 o'clock on Saturday. That is next up on the schedule. Pittsburgh just blowing out the Leafs tonight. Ended up being 5-2, but they went up 5-0 in that game. I will be with you on Saturday before Brian rejoins you for Sunday's game, where the Sabres will host the Winnipeg Jets. So, until Saturday, thanks everybody for tuning in tonight. Have a good rest of your week. This has been the Paul William Belts postgame show with Joe DiBiase here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.